Welcome back, everybody. Today we're diving into this report I found, and
Yeah.
it's pretty wild. It's called Whole of Society: How the Previous Administration Coordinated the Censorship Industry. It's from the Foundation for Freedom Online,
Okay.
and it's looking at how the previous administration was trying to combat disinformation online.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe a little too enthusiastically, according to this report. What do you think?
Well, it's definitely an interesting report. Raises some big questions about the government and how it tries to shape what we see online. One of the big things that jumped out at me was this idea of a whole of society approach to censorship.
Whole of society. What does that even mean?
So it's not just the government, right? They're not just like issuing guidelines or something.
Okay.
This report is saying they were trying to get everyone involved.
Everyone. Like who?
Private companies, nonprofits, researchers,
Okay.
even just regular people, all to control what we see online.
So they're trying to like control the whole narrative?
Basically, yeah.
Wow.
And the report actually points to this White House working group that they set up back in 2021.
Okay.
It was called the Information Integrity Research and Development Group.
Information integrity. Sounds a little Orwellian, don't you think?
Well, it does make you wonder, right? Because
Yeah.
they weren't just like a small group, you know?
Right.
The report says they were trying to get government employees involved,
Yeah.
researchers, businesses, even libraries and museums.
So, like, if you went to check out a book,
Right.
they'd be trying to steal you toward certain information.
Well, maybe not that directly, but the point is they were trying to use all these different channels to push a certain narrative.
It seems like they were really trying to blur the lines between like public and private action.
Exactly. And that has some serious implications for free speech, obviously.
That's a whole other can of worms. But did this group actually like do anything, or was it all just talk?
Oh, they did stuff. They published this roadmap for researchers in
A
2022.
roadmap?
Yeah. And the FFO report is saying that this roadmap was basically their plan for how to control online narratives.
Interesting. What was in this roadmap?
Well, one of the things that really stood out was that it totally rejects the idea of the marketplace of ideas.
Oh, right. I've heard of that. Just let everyone share their ideas and the truth will come out, right?
Yeah, that's the basic idea. It comes from John Milton and John Stuart Mill, these thinkers who argue that the best way to find truth is through open debate.
So you're saying this roadmap basically said, forget that.
Pretty much. They called it an idealized notion.
Idealized, like it's some naive dream.
It seems like they felt they needed to step in and manage the conversation, you know, decide what's true and what's not.
Sounds like they didn't trust people to figure things out for themselves.
That's the impression I got, too.
It's a little worrying, you know? Like, who gets to decide what's true in this scenario?
Exactly. It's a slippery slope.
The report also talks about media literacy education, which, on the surface, sounds good, but is there more to it?
Well, the report is arguing that it's not as simple as it sounds.
Okay.
Media literacy programs could be good, you know, teaching people to think critically,
Right.
but what they're saying is that these programs are often used to push certain narratives.
And set down others.
Exactly. It's like instead of teaching people how to think, they're telling them what to think.
And the report says that this is already happening in schools.
That's right. And that's raised concerns about bias and even indoctrination in the classroom.
Wow. This is getting pretty deep. The report also mentions that they were working with international organizations too, like the European Union, which has some pretty strict rules about online content.
Yeah, that's right.
What's the concern there?
Well, the report's saying that this could lead to American companies censoring stuff globally,
Huh.
you know, to avoid getting penalized by the EU.
Even if that content is perfectly legal here in the U.S.
It's.
So basically, we could end up with American companies censoring themselves
Yeah.
just to avoid trouble overseas.
That's a big concern.
Yeah, that's pretty chilling. So this whole of society approach, it's not just about what's happening here in the U.S.
Right.
It could have ripple effects all over the world.
And the report makes it clear this whole of society approach could have a really chilling effect on free speech.
It makes you wonder, are they prioritizing a specific version of truth over open debate?
That's a really important question.
Because if that's the case, then we've got a problem.
We do.
And what's even crazier, this report says that the Information Integrity Working Group is still active.
That's right. It wasn't just a thing under the previous administration, it's still going on.
Wow. So this isn't just some relic of the past. This is something we need to be paying attention to right now.
Absolutely. It raises all sorts of questions about how we're going to balance combating harmful content with protecting free speech in this digital age.
And it seems like something that could have a real impact on our lives.
It could.
We've covered a lot of ground here, and it's clear that this is a really complicated issue.
It is.
But one thing that really strikes me is how something like media literacy, which sounds so positive,
Right.
could actually be used to control what people think.
That's the danger. We have to look beyond the surface and really examine the motivations behind these initiatives.
You're right. We can't just take things at face value. especially in this day and age where we're bombarded with information from all sides. Speaking of which, the FFO report goes into some detail about specific organizations involved in this whole-of-society effort. Were there any names that jumped out at you?
Yeah, there were a few that I thought were particularly interesting.
Okay, like who?
Well, one that caught my eye was NewsGuard.
NewsGuard, yeah, I think I've heard of them.
They're a company that basically rates the credibility of news websites.
Oh, okay.
You know, like how trustworthy they are.
Right. But haven't they been accused of bias themselves?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so what's the issue there?
Well, the report is saying that organizations like NewsGuard, you know, they present themselves as like neutral fact checkers, but they often end up favoring mainstream outlets.
Really?
And discrediting more alternative or independent sources.
Hmm. So it's not really about truth then, it's about who's saying it.
That's the concern, yeah.
It all comes back to that, doesn't it? Who gets to decide what's trustworthy and what's not?
Right.
The report also mentions something called the Virality Project.
Oh, yeah?
Which was apparently focused on combating misinformation about COVID-19.
That was a big one.
What can you tell us about that?
So the Virality Project was basically a perfect example of this whole-of-society approach in action.
How so?
It was a collaboration between, like, academics and government officials.
Okay.
And tech companies all working together to try and control the narrative around COVID-19.
So they were actually monitoring what people were saying online?
Yeah, and not just monitoring.
What do you mean?
The report says they were actually flagging content for removal from social media platforms.
Wow. So they could basically just get stuff taken down if they didn't like it.
It seems that way, yeah.
That's a little scary, isn't it?
It is, especially when you're talking about scientific and medical information.
Right. Because even if some claims turn out to be false,
exactly,
the process for evaluating them has to be transparent, right?
Absolutely.
We need to know how these decisions are being made.
And who's making them?
Exactly. Transparency and accountability. Two things that seem to be in short supply these days.
That's true.
The FFO report also digs into the financial side of all this.
Yeah, they found that millions of dollars in government grants and contracts were given to universities and private companies who were involved in these censorship efforts.
So taxpayer money was being used to fund the suppression of certain viewpoints.
That's what the report is suggesting.
That's pretty disturbing.
It is. It goes beyond just the government, like, observing these activities.
Right.
It seems like they were actively supporting and encouraging them.
It makes you think twice about this whole media literacy thing, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's one thing to teach people how to think critically,
right,
but it's another thing entirely to use those programs to push a specific agenda.
And the fact that they're implementing these programs in schools.
Yeah, that's a big concern.
I mean, we're talking about potentially influencing young minds here.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It is. And then there's the whole international dimension, right?
Right.
American companies potentially censoring content globally.
To avoid running afoul of those stricter regulations in other countries?
Exactly. It's like we're heading for a clash of cultures when it comes to online speech.
It's definitely a complex issue.
It is. No easy answers.
Nope.
So what do we do? How do we balance free speech with the need to protect people from harmful content?
That's the million-dollar question.
It really is. This FFO report, it feels like a giant wake-up call.
It is.
Like, hey, pay attention. This is happening.
Exactly.
It's easy to get caught up in the idea of fighting disinformation.
Right. It sounds good on the surface.
It does. But when you start digging deeper, it gets a lot more complicated.
It does.
Who gets to decide what's disinformation? What methods are okay to use to combat it?
Those are the questions we need to be asking.
Because the answers have huge implications for free speech.
And for the future of open discourse.
You've hit the nail on the head. This report, it's a call to action.
It is.
We need to be paying attention, asking questions, and holding those in power accountable.
We can't just sit back and let this happen.
The stakes are too high.
They are.
Well said. This deep dive has given us a lot to think about.
It has.
It's a reminder that our freedoms, especially online, are under constant threat.
They are.
And it's up to us to defend them.
Absolutely.
So stay informed, stay engaged, and keep having these conversations.
Couldn't agree more.
What are your final thoughts for our listeners today?
I think the big takeaway for me is that we gotta be really careful about who we trust, you know?
Yeah, who are we trusting with the truth?
Exactly. We can't just hand over the reins to the government or a tech company or some fact-checking website. We have to think for ourselves.
Right, right.
The marketplace of ideas, it's not perfect, but at least it lets us hear different perspectives.
And make up our own minds.
Exactly. And when we start censoring certain viewpoints, we end up in an echo chamber.
Yeah, where everyone just agrees with each other.
And that's dangerous, you know?
It is. And it's a good reminder that even censorship that's done with good intentions can have some pretty bad consequences.
Oh, absolutely.
It can stifle creativity, silence dissenting voices, and even undermine free speech itself.
Which is kind of the foundation of a healthy democracy.
Exactly. So what can our listeners do about all this?
Well, first of all, stay informed. Read reports like this one from the Foundation for Freedom Online.
Yeah, get the information straight from the source.
Right, and pay attention to what these organizations are doing, the ones involved in all this censorship.
Right, do your research.
Exactly, and try to understand the arguments on both sides of the issue.
Don't just blindly accept one narrative over another.
Right, think for yourself, and there are other things you can do too.
Like what?
Support organizations that are fighting for free speech and transparency.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And don't be afraid to talk to people who have different views than you.
Have those tough conversations.
Exactly. Challenge your own assumptions. Ask questions.
Don't just shut down the conversation.
Right. And don't be afraid to speak out against censorship, even if it's dressed up as something nice sounding.
Like media literacy.
Exactly.
It's like they say, knowledge is power. We have to arm ourselves with information.
If we want to protect our freedoms.
And this deep dive has given us a lot to think about. It's a reminder that we all have a role to play in protecting free speech.
We can't just assume someone else will do it for us.
We have to be active. We have to be engaged.
We have to fight for the kind of internet we want.
An internet that's open and free, where everyone can share their ideas.
That's the goal.
Well said. For those of you who want to learn more about this, check out the full report from the Foundation for Freedom Online.
Yeah, there's a link in the show notes.
It's definitely worth a read. And as always, thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, keep those minds curious and those voices strong.